and I become King George. And I got all the rights then. And when I stand on the mountain and I say, do it, it gets done. If it don't get done, then I'll move on it. And that's the last thing in the world you want me to do.
You know, most of them don't assume you're actually going to kill them. Most of them assume it's a rape or something like that.
It was like anybody was fair game.
It did not matter. Blood is blood. It didn't matter if man, woman, child.
At first, they thought it was a pack of savage dogs. But when they looked closer, they knew it was humans.
We left the curse. We left the curse.
In the gate.
A fire and death.
In the gate.
Oh, this is not nice.
No.
Judgment.
No.
Judgment. Say it.
No, we left the curse.
On her?
On her.
Future generations.
Future generations.
Welcome everyone back to the Evil Examine podcast. Yes, so I'm here in the studio today with Mike from Real Judgments. Mike, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Okay. Well, I mean, we're all right. One thing we definitely want to announce, the reason why it's just me and Mike, and it's probably just going to be me and Mike for the next few weeks that you hear, we have to offer our deepest condolences to JP and his family. Unfortunately, his mom passed away a few days ago, so... You know, he wants to be here, but obviously things happen, and this is some next level, you know, tragedy, unfortunately. And I mean, all we can say is, dude, we love you and love your family, and really, you know, going to be here for you, brother. And
anything you need.
Yeah. And he'll be back, guys. Don't worry. But if any of you guys did donate, we did put up a little fundraising event to try and help out with some of the costs. So if any of you guys did donate to that, we really do appreciate it. We received a number of anonymous donations, so definitely want to give you guys credit if anyone contributed. And it is greatly appreciated in an extremely difficult time. So, all right, guys. But yeah, so me and Mike are going to be here to try and bring some extra content to you guys. It's not going to be quite the same format that we usually do with, you know, the odd news, the Forbidden Five, and the evil entry. These are going to be just some extra evil bonus episodes for you. So they're probably not going to be the standard time, but we're going to do what we can to bring you some cool shit going through this period here. So
it's a big void without JP, but I'll do my best.
Yeah, you're a pretty obese individual, though. Is that
you
fair?
Take up a lot of space.
If anyone can fill that hole, it's Mike from Real Judgments, dude. that just sounds so bad, right? Fill that hole.
Well, sounds really good, actually.
Yeah, it's not bad, right? But yeah, we're looking forward to bringing you guys some extra evil content. We've got a variety of topics that we're going to kind of talk about over these few bonus shows that we're doing. Also, I do want to make a quick reminder that my Halloween slasher Scary Bastard was released. It has like 35 illustrations. If you're looking for an autumn or Halloween themed murder book, this is a great fictional horror story about, you know, a sick child killer, a mutated maniac missing his lower jaw, some spree killers, a hopeful special effects artist. A lot of different characters coming together, and if you like stuff that triggers the population, offensive material, extreme material, check out Scary Bastard. It's available now on Amazon.
Sign me up.
Yeah, baby. All right, let's get into it, though, Mike. Today's episode is called Going to Hell.
Aren't we all?
Yeah, the world, for certain. What does that mean to you, Mike, when you hear... Going to hell.
Going to hell.
What do you think about?
If you're in your own living hell, I would say, you know, going to hell's your, you know, your worst nightmare every day. Just plugging along, doing the worst. Every day is going to be the worst day. I think that would be like a living hell. But if you're going to hell, I mean, that's just damnation at the end of your life.
Do you believe in heaven and hell necessarily, or?
Not purely how it's written, but I believe you could have a negative outcome. I think you could definitely live, well, your energy or your soul or whatever you want to call it would exist in a not so great like way of being, I guess you could say.
Yeah. Well, when I think about it, it's like, I feel like, oh, it doesn't necessarily have to be the same for everyone. The afterlife, I feel like when people set their beliefs into it, some are just like, okay, well, I just believe in this. Or I just believe in this. You know, I just believe in reincarnation. I just believe in heaven and hell. Maybe it's different for other people, you know? Maybe
there's different outcomes.
Like ghosts too, right? Like, mm-hmm. Okay, maybe those are people that didn't make it up that way. Like if you ever watch, I know we actually were talking about this movie, The Frighteners, mm-hmm. earlier today. Excuse me. It's a great movie with Michael J. Fox and Jake Busey. But the concept of the movie is like, okay, this portal of light opens up in the sky when you die. And then your ghost kind of rises up out of your body and you have to make that choice. Am I going to go up or am I going to stay? And it's like those people with like unfinished business will usually stay. And that's what it is. Like he can see them though. He's one of the only people that can see these people that chose not to go, and he can see the portal and all that stuff when people die. Wouldn't that be cool?
Would be. One of the, me and someone were talking about reincarnation. What if that's just a form of, hey, you didn't get it right in the life you had, so now I got to put you, you know, in a different body, in a different birth, and let's try it again to see if you can get the lessons you're supposed to get out of this life.
I'd like
that idea. Before you, like, transcend either to heaven or to hell, like, I think that could be what reincarnation is, like a rerun.
I think that's one of the ideas that makes the most sense to me, and maybe that's why I like it the most. Like, yeah, like, oh, if you were a terrible person on Earth, then maybe you come back as, like, a cockroach, and you have to work your way up into, like, a fucking rat and then into a dog. You know what I mean?
I mean, I'd like to believe it, too, especially what I see in society. It seems like there's, like, less and less people doing the right things.
Yeah.
Like, to me, it's realistic.
I'd like to see him turned into roaches, too. That's what you're saying, right?
That'd be great. Maybe come back as a roach instead of another human.
Yeah. It's crazy, though. There's so many ways to think about the afterlife, you know? Or, like, heaven and hell. Like, did you ever picture, like, what that would be like when you were younger, you know? Like,
yeah, like when I was a kid, I would imagine, like, you know, if I went to hell, it was all, you know, just like the Bugs Bunny cartoon, Satan at the podium, and there's pits of fire, and everybody's damned, and there's cages, and it's nasty. And if you went to heaven, it was all clouds and gold and white and wings and feathers, and everything was great and fluffy.
Yeah, which, and that was the whole thing. Like, if heaven was perfect, then how did the devil come from it and all that? You know, like, there was, like, certain, like, paradoxical things with the Bible that I always thought were interesting. But I think today we're going to go over something pretty interesting, too. Because when people hear, you know, when we hear people recount their near-death experiences, many of them are able to communicate vivid details of what they believe to be heaven, right? And, like, I think you and I were talking about this a little earlier, actually, right?
Yeah, we were.
But what about those whose karma didn't earn them entry into the pearly gates? What about those people that had near-death experience? You never really hear about them, right?
Mm-mm. You don't hear about the light and the tunnels and the bright colors, that's for sure.
Yeah. Have you ever heard someone give a near-death going-to-hell experience?
No.
All right, well, we're about to hear one today. So let's travel back to a simpler time, the 90s. March of 1992, Matthew Botsford, he was minding his own business after finishing up a meal inside of a restaurant. He just happened to be exiting the establishment, though, when a group of asshole drunks were being denied access. And in a rage, one of these drunks pulled out and let off rounds from a Uzi submachine gun, one of which lodged into his brain's frontal lobe. So there you are. One day you go into the restaurant having a meal, on the way out, altercation, you're accidentally shot.
Was he having this meal in like Somalia? Like
what? No, dude. This was like
some Uzi machine gun, like on the way out.
I forget exactly where it was, but it was just like I think it was Chicago or something.
Oh my god,
maybe. But yeah, that's what I mean. And Uzi's kind of like, holy shit,
that's some real deal.
But I, do you ever do that? Do you ever like feel weird when you go, like, ever since all the mass shootings started to happen, whenever I go into a public place, it always comes into my mind, like, how would I react in a scenario where something crazy happens? In the movie theaters, I think about it sometimes too, especially after the James Holmes stuff where he shot up the theater. You ever get those vibes?
I think I'm too confident in who I am when it comes to this stuff, because I always preach I will never live in fear. So I don't initially address those issues. It's kind of, if something unfolded in front of me, immediately I go into like survival mode of how to deal with what's right in front of me.
Well, I don't want to give the wrong impression. I'm not saying like, oh, like when I walk into, there's like a dark fear that something's,
I won't even spot around and look for the exits. Like, I think I'm overconfident when it comes to this, because I think that's a very unrealistic way I'm living right now that I'm assessing it.
Yeah, I think I've read too much of this stuff. And like, I've, you know, if you go back to, I believe it's episode 4, season 1, the Dark Knight massacre, you know, like those people, they're fucking sitting ducks in there once they got in there. You know what I mean?
You got the back of everybody's head.
It's fucking crazy, dude. So like, I don't know. I've just read too many crazy things like that. So to me, it kind of, for whatever reason, it just sticks out. The injury that he received to the frontal lobe was so life-threatening that the doctors were forced to put Matthew in a medically induced coma that spanned 27 days. So just like that, damn, you're fucking having breakfast, boom, you're in a coma for almost a month. He fell into what he described as a, quote, inky darkness, and found himself suspended in ancient black chains dangling over a glowing pit of boiling lava. He witnessed four-legged creatures screeching in agony as smoke floated from the magma-carrying ghosts of the damned as they, you know, flew up around him. The army of bodies below ranged in size and were covered with scales and horns. The demons tore his flesh from his bones and devoured it right before him, only to watch his flesh regenerate and then see the process repeat itself over and over again. So they were just constantly feeding on his flesh and ripping him apart. A stench of decay and rotting carcasses bombarded him, and he felt a revelation set in that was worse than the torture he was enduring, the horrible sense of helpless isolation. So it's like he just feels so alone, dangling over this pit, chained up, and then these monstrosities are feeding on his flesh.
I mean, it's like the term, right? Dying a thousand deaths. Like, that's what he's doing. Imagine feeling like you're getting ripped apart, like your skin pulled off, just to watch it regenerate so you can have it happen again, and nobody's going to come help you.
Yeah, because you're just surrounded by creatures of some sort, you know?
That sounds like the worst kind of hell I could fathom as well.
Yeah. It sounds fucking horrible. I mean, it's hard to imagine something worse than that. And it just keeps repeating. And dude, he's in the coma 27 days.
That's what I was just thinking.
This is not like a Friday night and then they pulled him out of it, you know? That's a long time to be down there.
And they were saying something like, my brother was telling me something like, at the speed of light, 1 second can equal an eternity for someone. It's some crazy formula they have.
1 second can equal an eternity?
1 second of our life at light speed, I think it is equivalent to like an eternity.
What the fuck? I'm trying to understand what that means.
Like, you accelerate the way we live, like how we don't age if we go in outer space.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same, like, same idea or same concept as that. Like, if you speed us up and we use 1 second, it's equivalent to like an eternity at like a rapid rate.
Man, I mean, imagine
27 days.
Yeah, like it would feel like never ending hell. It is hell.
Multiple eternities. Yeah. I'm sure he felt like he was down there forever.
This is a pretty interesting kind of how it wraps up. He claimed that next, an enormous hand, the hand of God, he claims, knifed its way through the darkness and released his shackles. The demons were forced to flee, and just before he awoke in his coma, there was a flash of lightning before him, and he heard the words, "It's not your time." And supposedly after all this was done, like, he completely changed his life. He was like, fuck this. Like, I'm not going back there.
Why wouldn't you?
Kind of shit. Like, I don't know that he was like some horrible person, but I think he had a lot of self-reflection and he was like, I can be better. You know what I mean? Like,
if you think that's going to be your outcome and you experience that for 27 days unconscious, like, why wouldn't you change your ways? I'd be fucked. I try to live pretty righteous to the next guy. I try to treat everybody pretty good. If I went under and that's what I experienced, like, I don't even know what the hell I would do next to, like, try to be better.
How would you? Exactly.
I'm pretty good to everyone as a person.
Like, we're not like horrible people by any means. I mean, but we're also not like Mother Teresa saving the world, sort of thing. You know, we help people out. Don't get me wrong. Like, I feel good about some of the things I do to help people. But I mean, if that's some shit, like, if you're a pretty nice guy already and you see some shit like that, you're like, fuck, what do I need to do? And like, what is God's standard? You know, like, what is the standard?
I'd be completely lost. Like, I've been homeless. I help out homeless when I see them. I've had my house burned down. I try to help anybody with anything.
Didn't you burn your house down, though?
It was an accident. Legit accident. Like, I mean, I've been through a lot.
I mean, just to clarify.
Yeah. No, I mean, I've been through a lot, and I'm still willing to give the shirt off my back if somebody needs it. And if that's what I saw when I was done, even temporarily, like, I don't know what I would do. Like, I literally would have to pick up the Bible and some cloth and open a church or something. Like, that's like, that would be the only next step for me. I don't know what I would do. I'd be lost.
It's like, oh, I can't kill myself because we would just go there. Yeah. And then we don't want to accelerate that process. But then you'd be fearing it, dude. You would be fearing it like there's no end. You know,
and
like,
if you did all this good, right? Wouldn't you be like, is it enough? Or am I still going to go there?
Like, I'm trying to put this shit over the top, you know, like.
That's heavy.
So what? The lesson is be good, I guess, right? But how good? That's the weird part of it. Like, how, I don't know. There's written rules, right? Man's written rules. This guy wasn't a murderer. This guy wasn't a rapist. You know what I mean? You know, maybe he suffered from some of the common sins, like, you know, maybe he was like a little selfish or something, or thought about his career more than his family, you know, kind of a common thing like that. It's easy to get wrapped up in life, I guess, you know, but if he's going and getting his meats ripped off and regenerated for just being a little like self-centered, selfish, or that means we all got a lot of work to do, ladies and gentlemen.
I want to know more about the guy.
Matthew Botsford?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think he actually did write a book about it, and I believe the book is available online to read for free, too.
I mean, yeah. I mean, like you say, if this is like your average Joe just doing the daily grind and hasn't really done too much real wrong, like, if he's seeing himself going to hell, we got to take a long look in the mirror there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at another, like, interview with him here, and it's like, he says that there's a 30% chance he'll make it through the night. Let me see, it says, Matthew was resuscitated on the scene and taken to Piedmont Hospital in Atlanta, so it looks like it was in Georgia. Nancy flew in from their home state of Michigan. Her first meeting with the doctor was devastating. He said there was a 30% chance that he'll make it through the night. After that, he'll probably be in a wheelchair, Nancy recalls. They didn't know if it was if the brain injury, if he'd be a vegetable, or if he'd have to like be in an institution like the rest of his life. Nancy took a walk down the corridor to clear her head, and it's a quote: "I just saw this blackness in front of me, just started getting bigger. I felt myself falling into the blackness. I had no control. I was just losing it. That's when I felt this heavy hand on my right shoulder. I felt this pull back, and I turned around. There was nobody there, and I knew it was Jesus," says Nancy. "I went straight back to Matt's room. He's all wrapped up in bandages, and I just said, 'Lord, I'm not saved. Bring back my husband, even if he's in a wheelchair. It doesn't matter, but bring him back who he is, who his heart is, who his personality is. I promise to stay with him.'" Right? She's like putting him over, making him seem like a good guy. Bring him back just the way he was. You know what I mean? Like if he was an asshole, she'd probably be like, you know, bring him back, but let's clean up a couple things. You know, like,
can we delete a couple things?
Right? That part of his lobe that blew off, like, make that the
let that be the selfish asshole shit.
Yeah. That, you know, and it's weird. Some of these stories, you know, you hear these religious stories, and it's like snake oil salesmen sometimes, like, oh, and the Lord cured this, and Jesus this, and but this dude, he wasn't super religious or anything. You know what I mean? Like, he was not like a religious dude. You know, his wife sounds like she was a little religious.
I wonder if he was baptized or not.
It says he was raised Catholic but molested Baptist in this article here.
No, it don't. No, it don't.
Nancy lived hour to hour, as it seemed that one crisis followed another, but every crisis had a glimmer of hope. Every situation would be critical, and then things would turn around. She said he was put on kidney dialysis, and they said that he'd be on it for 3 weeks. In 3 days, things turned around. So it sounds like a lot of back and forth. And then after 27 days, Matthew awoke from his coma. "It was incredible," she says. "The whole focus now was to get him up on his feet, get him to go against the odds, and he's going to be in a wheelchair." But he wasn't, I believe. It says the left side of Matthew's body was paralyzed. But worse, the damage to his brain affected his ability to think and perform even the simplest tasks. They returned to Michigan, where Matthew started rehab, trying to rebuild his body and mind. But the rehab was painful, he says, physically and cognitively. "I remember I would do simple things like run through the alphabet in my head, make sure I could go A to Z. They were teaching me how to eat." For 2.5 long years, Matthew worked through the pain with Nancy by his side. Progress was slow. He eventually left the wheelchair and walked with a cane. Recovering mentally was a much slower process, but Nancy remembered her promise to stay with Matthew through it all. Cognitively, he was not with it. He was in La La Land. "I did not sign up for this, but I remembered that promise. That was stronger," says Nancy. So she was probably like, fuck this. Can you imagine, you know, having to bring somebody back and teach him everything? It's fucking, it sounds like an incredible task, but it says the Botsfords were so focused on Matthew's regimen, they forgot his experiences with God. "I was there. There was no focus there, she says. "It was all about Matthew." That is until they moved to Florida. One day, Matthew met a neighbor while taking a walk. He goes, "I remember looking up at him. Hey, there's a good church around. Is there a good church around here?" is what he asked. And Nancy recalls saying, "What? That's what we were looking for, is a church." So I guess this person just like kind of offered this information to them. So it sounds like he's like super fucking, he's gone super religious after this, which.
Why wouldn't you be?
Yeah.
How could you not?
Like, just out of
just being ripped apart,
out of pure fear itself, that should fuel your
whatever it takes, I guess.
I mean, do you think that it's possible that this was just something in his mind, like a bad dream? that he had to.
Even if it was. Why wouldn't you? Like, if you think you're going to end up spending the rest of your eternity being pulled apart and flesh-eaten right in front of you just to watch it grow back, why wouldn't you change your ways and just hope that it would be different?
Yeah.
I mean, even if you didn't turn totally religious, you just changed how you were just to hope the outcome was different. You got, like, nothing to lose at that point.
Yeah, man. I don't know. It's a scary thing. I mean, I think it's the type of, the way it's always described, you know, like I said, you hear a lot of near-death experiences with people who have seen, you know, inexplicable things, but it's usually like godly or heavenly shit. So I think the going to hell ones are interesting to me. I heard one about somebody that said, like, they all usually describe, like, that outer body experience, like looking at themselves from a bird's eye view. And one dude, like, read a tag off the top of a light in the ER room. Like, he remembered it. And they were like, that's pretty much inexplicable, you know? The guy was brought in there in, like, critical condition. It's not like he knew what room he was going in.
Yeah.
And then was able to scope out the fucking tag on top of the light. You know what I mean? So there's, like, some cases of this stuff where it's really hard to explain. Like, you can say, oh, it's just some delusion, but then how do you explain the tag that he saw in that situation, you know?
I worked with a guy that had a near-death experience, and he was explaining that there was colors that he had never seen in his life in there. And I was, like, looking at him like he's crazy, of course. And I'm like, how could there be more colors than you can see? Like, that doesn't even make sense. And he's like, think about a camera. And I'm like, what do you mean think about a camera? He's like, you look at a sunset. He's like, how about even on your phone? He's like, you look at a sunset, but then when you take the picture of the sunset with your phone, he's like, there's certain hues and colors that get missed on the phone versus what you're really seeing.
Mm.
And I was like, oh yeah, that's true. He's like, that's the best way I can describe it. He's like, when I was dead, he's like, the colors I seen, there was hues and colors I never had imagined could exist. He's like, and it's like beyond beautiful.
Well, what about this? Like, if you think about, like, a native tribe maybe somewhere off in the middle of nowhere in the Amazon rainforest or something, you know, maybe there's certain colors that they're not exposed to just because it's just what's in nature, you know? Like, maybe they don't have, like, that crazy neon pink that we see in certain, like, graphics and stuff, you know? Or, you know, something like that might blow someone away if they were just, you know? We could think of it that way, too, I feel like. What was his near-death experience, though? What happened to him?
He didn't say what happened to him. He just told me that about being dead for, I think he said it was a minute and a half or 2.5 minutes. But it was just, like, a few minutes before. So I'm assuming something happened to him, stopped his heart, and the EMTs probably got him back going with a defibrillator. But, he was explaining it as a scope. He said it's the best way he could get anybody to understand it is, like, just scope, being on a different level of the scope and things being magnified in a different way.
Well, I mean, we've had certain experiences where, like, you see otherworldly things, right? Like,
yeah.
That's not unlocked to everybody, you know?
That's true.
So it's like you have, like, a bizarre experience like that, you know, or you hallucinate. That's a part of reality that can't be seen by everyone, only those who get involved, you know? So I think there's mysteries, you know, there's layers to the mysteries. So
it's for sure not going to be understood till you're there and capable of understanding it.
What's your money on?
Where I'm going?
Well, just what you think is going to happen.
I'm
sure you've probably pondered it once or twice.
If it's anything like I've like experienced under influences, I would say I'm going to a pretty good place where anything shameful I've done is forgivable, so I can move on. But it was a long, humiliating process in the episode that I had in my brain. Or,
like, do you always, this is what I always picture too, and I feel like you're hitting on it with the humiliation, like you're going through a presentation of your entire life.
Mm-hmm.
And, but I've heard some people that say they've gone through this, people in near-death experiences, but they only highlighted the good parts. Like they did, they skipped all the bad, humiliating shit. Maybe because they did enough good or something to not really need to go through it. You know, might be a different case for you. I don't know.
For me, it felt almost. I touched upon it before with you. Like, I'm really good at being vain when I want to be. Like, I joke about it a lot, but I don't know. Being vain is not that hard for me, and I don't like that I could be good at that. So I think part of my process to move on next will be just complete humiliation and understanding that nobody's better than anybody. And I preach that a lot, but I don't think I let it sink in on my own soul enough. And I think that's, it's going to be part of my process on my passing.
Yeah. It's going to be a weird thing, man. And
like they say, ego death, you know, like that's what it is. It's letting me know that I'm, you know, not greater than anyone. I'm equal to everyone and that we're all on the same level.
Yeah, man. Some deep stuff, dude. When you start thinking about what comes next, if anything comes next, there's still that thing where maybe nothing comes next.
Oh, I'm certain. Just from the trials I've had with the tight group of friends we have, I am sure.
What?
That there is something next.
You just don't know what it is.
I think it's an energy form or soul form or whatever people want to call it, but it's the body does not matter.
Why do you say that though? Why are you so sure?
The trips.
Yeah.
And you know, just the sheer love that I felt and the complete unawareness of my own body. So I know there's something next.
Yeah. I mean, that stuff. Dude, I mean, we could fucking talk about that for hours.
Absolutely.
Because it's so intense and there's inexplicable things, you know?
This stuff I didn't even understand that I was going through.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if like maybe we're not meant to understand it all yet. Maybe it will make sense later. But
I mean, maybe that's the thing is you don't have to make sense of everything.
Yeah.
I don't think our world is meant to be completely 100% without mystery and understanding everything. I think that's where we're failing as humans.
Well, we were talking about this a little earlier, and I feel like it's a good point, you know, and something that more people need to adopt is that you don't have to know the answer, you know, like you don't have to say, be so rigid and be like, yeah, this is my belief because this, you know. Like, there's nothing wrong with saying this is a possibility and just kind of like being open, you know, and just saying like, you know, there's a lot of possibilities, you know. And I think I just try to lead the, you know, try to do the best I can sort of thing and be good to people around me and hope that that's enough, I guess.
I mean, for me, everybody says they're looking for happiness. And I think this knowledge for everything, it creates the exact opposite. I mean, look how happy a baby is just for being alive.
Yeah. And well, that's because he don't know nothing yet.
Right. And
it's going to get fucked up later.
You know more and more and more and more stuff. And you're learning that hate could be a real thing. You're learning all this stuff and all this bad stuff that happens. Like, to me, knowledge is a double-edged sword. Yeah, it's a survival tool. You need it. But same token, it can create a lot of unhappiness for you.
Yeah. And in some cases, this knowledge, you know what I mean, is not knowledge. It's like scientific assumption in a belief, you know,
or tradition.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, we don't know everything. I'm okay with that. I'm glad. If there were no mysteries, this fucking show wouldn't exist. You know what I mean? Like, that's what this show is about. It's really about, you know, it's about evil, but you know what I mean? Like, a lot of that involves mystery. Like, where does this evil come from? You know what I mean? And then these other bizarre things that we talk about. How do these things happen, you know?
Imagine a world where you understood everything.
It's disgusting. It's kind of creepy, right?
Like you would literally be waiting robotic. To die. You'd be waiting to die. There'd be nothing to learn, no mystery, nothing exciting to wait for to be discovered, nothing. It would just be like, hey, we know everything. And that's it. Time for bed. Like that'd be so shitty.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure it would have its benefits too. Like, okay, you could fucking, like, if you knew everything, you could probably cure, like, any disease or make sure everyone gets fed, those type of things. But it would be boring. Like you said, it would be very boring to know everything, you know? Like, I like knowing that there's a universe out there and who knows what's inhabiting it, and that we see these weird little updates on these sort of things every once in a while, and, like, you know, or these near-death experiences or these apparitions that people see. Oh, there's so many things that are way more interesting to think about, you know? The whole, and I think there's the other thing too, right? The multiverse theory, right? And if we're all in a matrix, what does that mean about the afterlife? What's your take on that? Like, if this is the matrix, is the afterlife outside of this world?
See, like, I get this about spirits versus, like, intergalactic stuff. It sounds crazy, but in my brain, I'm like, what if my body is just somebody else's solar system? Because we're all molecules. So, like, what if I'm just another galaxy walking around in this galaxy, wondering what's out in those galaxies?
Yeah, and like, the little fucking, like, cells and shit are like
is another Earth and all that stuff. Like, I don't know. Like, they say
they're like, that planet looks like a dick and balls.
I mean, they say the world's infinite, right? So, like, I always go to that whole size, space, and time stuff. Like, we could be somebody else's grain of sand on the beach.
Yeah.
And that could be our whole entire, what we think is vast. Like, I don't know. It's tough for me to multiverse it, because I already think everything's like something inside itself, inside something else, inside something else. And I think that's what our spirits are too. Like, I think it's all part of that and connected somehow.
But dude, the more I watch like video games evolve, the more it really, like, I really think that it's has like, that potential.
Like,
you think
like the Sim Life games, like Sim City type life games?
Like, look at the games we have now, okay? What? Video games kind of started, like, kicking off in, like, the 80s, 70s. Like, really, you know, steamrolling into popularity. But look at what we have now, what, 30, 40 years later. And think about what we will have in 100 years. It's going to be... life. You know what I mean? Like,
it's going to be like Player One Go. Everybody's going to be living in these cubicles.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. So if you can build it, if we can build it, how do we know we haven't been built? You know, like, it's crazy. Like, in the video game, oh, you know, you get sick, you need to get the medicine to get better. You know, it's the same thing as life, dude. It's very similar. So, I mean, there's a lot of lines to be drawn, a lot of parallels that tie in.
Think about all the times you did something you didn't think you would do, too. You're like, oh, I would have never done that. Why did I do that?
Oh man. What do you mean though? Like, oh man. Explain that more though.
Like, you know, like you do something like really, really asshole-ish and you're like, man, that was really out of character. Like, why the fuck did I do that?
Okay.
Like, it's like a mishap in who you are. And you're like, damn, I like
you
really
think it's like a glitch or something?
Like, I really wish I got that one back. No, maybe the person controlling your character decided to go off on one.
You're like, that's sort of not me to do that.
Yeah. Right?
That's a good excuse, Mike. Let's write that one down.
Gives more meaning to Drake's controller.
Right? Oh, man. I mean, but yeah, it's the further technology goes, the more that stuff certainly seems possible.
Do you hate to think of yourself as a created character, or do you like the idea that somebody would have created you?
I don't really care, I guess. Like, it's not... No, I'm not going to say I don't care. Like, I'm interested by the thought of it. Mm. But it's like, if that's what I found out it was, I would be let down, I think, though. You know?
To find out you were just a soulless creation?
Kind of, yeah. Wouldn't you?
Yeah. Some creator character
because
option.
It means you have no... what do you call it? What's the word I'm looking for? Like, choice, not choice, but you know what I'm talking about? Like,
free will.
Free will. There we are. Like, it's like, oh, why did you go downstairs and get coffee today? Why didn't you get water? Or why didn't you get tea? Mm-hmm. You know, like Sam Harris has a book called Free Will where he kind of talks about that. Like anybody could be a serial killer essentially because, like, it's based off their biological makeup, which is random, and then their life experience, it's like a blend of the two usually, And they don't usually control either of those things. You know what I mean? So like,
yeah, it's just what you're given, kind of.
It's kind of what you're given in both scenarios. So it's like, you would be a serial killer if you got brought up in the exact same situation as Jeff Dahmer, right? Like, if you had his exact biological makeup and his exact upbringing, it would just, that's just how it would play out. So it's like, it's a weird thing to think about, but.
Yeah, that would be pretty twisted.
But I don't know. What do you think about free will? You think that's like, you think that's a real thing?
I think free will is a real thing. I don't think it's exercised. I think free will is exercised by the people controlling just about everything. The select few that are considered privileged, you know, they got the money, they got the power. They're using free will. They're exploiting everything to get everything they want. To me, that's free will. Somebody that's waking up and going, I go to this job and I hate this job, but I'm going to keep going here. That's not free will. That's, I'm stuck in a machine.
Yeah.
And they have the same free will. They could go start a business. They could go figure it out, but they don't.
A lot of people, here's the thing. We get weighed down by all this shit in our lives, right? Like maybe somebody has a kid, or even if you don't have a kid, maybe you have to take care of somebody in your family. Maybe you have other responsibilities. Maybe you got sick, you know, like there's all these different like responsibilities that we have that are created, you know, like if you just think about something as simple as like a car, like you have a car. You know, you have to make sure that when the tires are worn down, they get changed. If a belt snaps, it gets replaced. You get your oil changed. You get them rotated. Mm-hmm. You get it inspected. You pay the insurance. You go to the DMV to rent. Like, that's just a car, you know? And there's all these tasks that are around it, right? And it's like, okay, that's just one thing. Then we have other things. Then we have phones, right? Then we have a house. Then we have our loved ones. You have your kids or, you know? And before you know it, you have no free time. So where's the free will?
That's what I'm saying. I don't think it gets exercised.
Yeah. Well, like G.G. Allen used to have this great quote where he was like, that's what they want. You know, they want you to buy a house and get chained down by debt. They want you to go to college. He's like someone like me. Like he's basically like a homeless punk rocker, essentially. But he had that free will. He's like, if somebody calls me, I can go tomorrow. You know what I mean? Mm. He's like, I can fuck whoever I want. Like, I don't have to ask anybody about anything, you know? But as his trade-off, he was a piece of shit living in the streets, a diseased freak degenerate. You know what I mean? Like, so it's like, there's two paths, you know? Like, yeah.
Like take your choice. Complete free will, subject to the machine, you know?
It's a fucking mind-numbing machine. Yeah, great conversation. This was a fun one. You know, I got a little dark at points, but I think there's some enlightenment in there to be had still, right?
A little light at the tunnel.
Yeah, a little light there. Is it the flames of hell, though? Because that's the question, you know? Are we going to hell? I guess we're going to have to find out. We'll let you guys know if we end up making it to hell before you. But speaking of going to hell... we also want to have, before we wrap today's show up, we do have an announcement that you may have seen on our social media. If you haven't checked us out on social media, we're on Instagram, Evil Examined, Facebook, Evil Examined, or you can go to www.evilexamined.com to get all the exclusive content in our whole archive of episodes. But we are going to the Conjuring House, which is famous in those, you know, those movies that were recently made and that a universe is kind of named after now, right? A movie universe. So on Friday the 13th, this coming November. So it's going to be cold outside. It's going to be creepy. We're going to be in one of the more haunted houses in the country. And we're going to be sending you guys some exclusive video content from inside the house. We're going to record some episodes inside the house and bring you through the whole twisted history and all the craziness, and a lot of your favorite guests are going to be there. Mike, you're going to be there, right?
Absolutely.
How are you feeling about it?
I'm a little hesitant. I got to be honest. I got loved ones putting in my ear that you know, about attachments and stuff like that. So I mean, I'm going to be there with some stuff in the back of my head already, right out of the gate.
Well, I think it's going to be a fun experience, though. I think we're going to learn something, and we're going to find out, you know, if we do have a paranormal experience. I think that's always interesting.
I think what would be amazing if you shot an episode there, and none of us knew, but we just did the whole podcast, and then we come back to review it if the mic picked up something.
Oh, right.
That would be amazing. Audio. Yeah.
No, we're going to have to find out how we approach it. We haven't, I mean, we've got some time. We've got a couple months to figure it out. We're going to, you know, try and do some unprofessional seances, some disrespectful investigating, you know, whatever stupid shit we can come up with, essentially. But we'll keep you guys posted on it.
I'll get my cross Bible and holy water ready.
Absolutely. But yeah, John the Skeptic's going to go too, so we'll have a complete 100% skeptic there. Make him a believer, you know? So
what are we going to call him if we make him a believer?
John the Believer, I think.
Hmm.
That'll be weird if he turns into the believer. I don't think it'll happen, though, but...
John not the Skeptic?
It doesn't quite have the same ring.
Hmm.
We'll think... I mean, we're game planning for something that
that's probably not might never happen.
Yeah. But either way, we're going to be game planning for the events in the house, and we're really looking forward to bringing you guys that. We've been talking about it for over a year, and they finally decide to start letting people stay there. There is a sizable fee that's associated, but between a bunch of good friends, it'll be reasonable, and we want to bring you guys that content. So, yeah, until next week, me and Mike will be back next week and a couple weeks after that, but... we do appreciate you all. And if you do want to donate, you can go to evilexamine.com and click the PayPal donate button. But otherwise, we will see you in the future. See you in hell.
They're extra-dimensional beings that they are not what they claim to be.
Your life with dignity. Don't lay down with tears and agony. Living, you're looking at death. It only looks living is much, much more difficult.
You know, most of them don't assume you're actually going to kill them. Most of them assume it's a rape or something like that.
It was like anybody was fair game.
It did not matter. Blood is blood. It didn't matter if man, woman, child.
At first, they thought it was a pack of savage dogs. But when they looked closer, they knew it was humans.
We left the curse.
Say it!
We left the curse.
We lit the gate.
A fire and death.
We lit the gate.
Oh, this is not nice.
Judgment!
Judgment! Say it!
Ah, we lit the curse!
On her?
On her!
Future generations.
Future generations!